Hello, this is Rep Wright.
Hello, Rep Wright. George Henry, how are you?
Hey, good. How are you?
I'm not doing too bad.
Good.
Good. Hey, if my minions have it correct, Tuesday is a special day for you, is it not?
It is. How about that? 76 years young.
Happy birthday to you.
Thank you very much.
You're so welcome. Hey, I wanted to catch up with you for our town to see how things are going. I understand some very important legislation was just passed this past week, and we're waiting to see if the governor is going to sign it. Tell me a little bit about how all that came together.
Well, this all started in the long session with HB 2002, which was the housing bill that basically allowed the cities and counties to be able to do a little bit better job with land use and to be able to talk more about multifamily housing than just single housing. So that was kind of the first step. There was a lot of money. I can't remember exactly how much right now. A lot of money devoted to that. Yesterday or the day before, no, it had to be yesterday. Yesterday was Monday. Yesterday, we passed a bill that basically said that communities could, like Florence, could expand in their urban growth boundary to use land that has not been utilized for housing yet. So it allowed communities like Florence and like Elmira and those municipalities that already had an urban growth boundary to be able to expand within their boundary. Not into farmland, no, but if the urban growth boundary extended and there was valuable land that could be built on, that it could be built on for multifamily usage.
Now, that's unique because heretofore it was you had to use up a significant portion of your already available land, right, before you could use the land in the urban growth boundary?
Right, right. So the concept is that as was presented by the governor, the idea that we're supposed to be able to produce 36,000 homes a year with the goal eventually of catching up with the 500,000 that they want to do by 2035. So it's a step in the right direction to be able to use the land. We have to provide housing for particularly our workforce, whether that's doctors, nurses, teachers, firemen, police, those kinds of things. We've got to have that usage within our urban growth boundary to be able to bring people in. It's already tough enough, you know, to bring people to the coast, but right now, of course, we're struggling with the idea that there's no housing for them, so how can they come? So we've got to produce more housing. We've got to have a lot more options. We've got to do some things much different than we've ever done before with land use. Otherwise, we'll never be able to provide the people that are valuable to Oregon in places like rural Oregon, which we really need the workforce.
I'm sure that got a little bit of pushback from those who want to conserve some of that land for different reasons. Was that much of a concern during this process?
There was some pushback, obviously, particularly from environmental groups. But we've got to move to the center on ballots. The environmental groups are heavily left and basically want to make sure that our animals and our environment is taken care of. But what they've forgotten is that there's a human element. And on the other side, the human element doesn't care about the environment, doesn't care about other things like that. And so that causes a rift between. Well, we've got to come back to the center and say, where's the balance? Where's the balance between our environment and taking care of our endangered species and our salmon and all those kinds of things, and still be able to provide jobs and money for schools and those kinds of things? So I think to a certain extent, this is bringing us back to the middle. I don't have probably one person that said, I love this bill. It's just that it's the best we can do as we move forward to be able to provide people with housing.
Now, another bill that saw some updates to it was the Measure 110 and the recriminalization of certain types of drugs after some pretty high numbers of overdoses over the past few years. Was that hard work to get done? It seems like you had a lot of bipartisan support.
Yes. Yeah, it was a tough one. There was a, again, we're talking about balance. There was a philosophy with the majority in the House of Representatives and in the Senate, too, that basically said we need to be compassionate, we need to be kind, we need to make people safe while they're taking drugs. And then if they get caught with drugs, wherever they are, then they get a ticket. And it is for $100, and then they're required, supposedly, to make a phone call if they want to get rid of the ticket and for treatment. Well, two things happened. One, they didn't call because people who are heavy in addiction really at some point in their life don't want help. Eventually, they need it, and maybe when they have bought them, they'll ask for it. But for the most part, they don't want help. They're comfortable where they are. The other thing is we have no treatment centers to take them to. And maybe there were a few in Portland, but that, you know, rural areas and the other parts of Oregon didn't have that. So we knew that, you know, drugs were prevalent on the street. We have overdoses. People are dying. So basically what happened is that the Republican leadership, with some help from some lobbyists, basically went in and said, look, we need a little bit of a carrot, okay? We need something that's going to be able to get people into treatment so they can then become responsible citizens in our society and hopefully get them off the street. So what we needed to do was give tools to the police to be able to take them into custody. Now, at that point, they can be incarcerated for about 72 hours initially, and so that they can start to get clean, start being able to make some reasonable decisions about their life, and if they want that help, then they can move into treatment. And we have more work to do, obviously, in helping to build more treatment centers and have more peer review and have people available to help these people. So if they don't follow through, then they can be incarcerated for a longer period of time. In fact, if they fail to follow through with their parole officer, they could essentially be jailed for as long as 180 days. We don't think that's going to happen. We think that people, once they're there and get cleaned up a little bit, will make a different decision. But if people are distributing and selling drugs, we're going to put them away. We're going to put them away for a while and figure out another business for them to be part of than what they're doing. We need to get our people with drug addictions off the street and into treatment, and people who sell in jail.
Well, having spoken with our sheriff here in Lane County and our police chief, you know, one of the real negative effects of 110 was taking the power for them to kind of research deeper into who's bringing the drugs, you know, into the area. And I guess, you know, the easiest way to help stem some of the drug addiction is to get rid of the availability of some of the drugs, and they can only do that through finding out who's bringing them in.
Exactly. I mean, the biggest thing is, of course, the border. We've got an open border that lets anybody and everybody in, and in that process, the cartels are sending their mules over with lots of drugs and coming into this country. And that's coming from Mexico. Probably China's helping out, particularly with fentanyl. So we've got to control our border better than what we're doing right now. And that's going to help amazingly. You know, we've got cartels down in Jackson County in Southern Oregon with the marijuana crops. And we need more police to be able to go in and take care of those situations. It's a real mess. Drug usage and drug addiction is a real mess in Oregon, and we've got to be able to do that. And I do agree with you. The police need tools in which to figure out where the drugs are coming and then be able to help the people who are addicted. So we've got a real mess in Oregon, and I hope this is a good first step.
So you're finishing things up. The session ends on the 10th. What other things are you hoping to get accomplished in the next 5 days?
Well, there's a lot of bills coming our way. We just passed yesterday the Marine Reserves, which I thought was a great idea. We need to protect our shorelines and protect our fish within the zones next to the shoreline. I think that was a good bill. We're going to move forward. Well, we passed also the right to repair yesterday, which means that people and businesses have the right to repair our machines instead of throwing them away because you can't get them fixed. We now are able, as the public, to be able to fix our phones and all other things that break down on us that are part of the technology of today. So I think that's good. The rest of the week is going to be fairly minor. There is a BOEM bill, B-O-E-M, which has to do with providing certain types of labor agreements in the process of putting our turbines out into the ocean. To be very honest, I'm not supportive of that. I think there's still a lot of questions. I do not believe that putting huge turbines out in the ocean is definitely going to help our fishing industry, who's already in trouble. I think there's a lot more things we need to be looking at as we move forward. I mean, just take a look at our transmission lines. I don't believe at this point that we have the transmission lines to move that type of electricity, that amount, up four gigs to the rest of the country and in Oregon in general. And if what I read correct about what's happening back on the East Coast, those turbines may produce electricity, but the problem is it's very, very expensive and people's electric bills are going up. We don't need that here. We already have electric companies raising rates because of a variety of things like Pacific Power and what they were, the lawsuit that they had concerning starting the fires this last summer, or maybe it was the summer before. So electric rates are going up. We don't need higher rates. We need to figure out how to make things less expensive. And I really think we need to start looking at nuclear power. I think we seriously need to look at all options. Okay, if we're not going to do coal, what are we going to place with? I think we have to start thinking about that. As we take things away from production of electricity, like the dams that they got rid of on the Snake River, we have to figure out then what's the next step in making sure people have the electricity they need, both in, you know, all year round. So, again, you know, George Henry, we get back to balance. How do we balance the need of our environment with the balance of the need of the public in general and our economy?
So one last thing. I know you've got to get into session here soon, but you had mentioned to me in our communications via text about $1.9 million for Florence. Tell me about that.
Yes, I'm really happy about that. I'm just ecstatic to be able to help Mayor Ward and the city of Florence with their project. They submitted a project and I can't tell you about it because I don't have it in front of me right now. But anyway, they applied for $1.9 million to be able to do some things that are helped the growth of Florence, and particularly with housing, and has a lot to do with infrastructure, with their sewer and water facilities and improving those. So I'm really happy that that happened. We also got $900,000 for North Bend to do basically the same kind of thing, to upgrade their sewer and water facilities. So it's coming. I think there's going to be a real emphasis this next session coming in 25. And when I'm hopefully reelected, that I'll be focusing on that for other areas like Mapleton, like Dune City, who need some major help in making sure that they have their sewer and water and stormwater systems where people can use them and their community can thrive. So I'll be continuing to do that once I'm reelected.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned Mapleton, because that was my next question was going to be that. But I'm glad to hear you're already thinking about that. So, hey, Boomer, thanks for your time this morning. Happy birthday to you. I hope you have a good day, and don't get too frustrated out there.
Oh, I won't. It's a good session. I see a lot more compromise and a lot more positive attitudes during the short session. So I'm really pleased with how things have gone. So appreciate you, Jordan Henry. Thank you very much.
All right. Appreciate you, too. Thanks for all you're doing out there.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Up next on the March edition of Our Town, we're going to talk with Chris Johnson on some of the changes coming up next season in the Far West League and the special districts right here on the March edition of Our Town.